Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times bestselling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Hello, and welcome to this Wednesday edition of Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. I hope you've been with us over the last couple of days as we've been doing a series on the love of God, powerful teaching by Derek Prince. If you haven't, by the way, you can log on to our website at derekprince.org, and you'll just find everything you need there to know about Derek Prince Ministries, Derek Prince's life, and you can listen to these teachings that you may have missed. By the way, while you're on the website, there's a free resource we have for you called Complete Salvation. It's a fantastic booklet about everything Jesus provided for us on the cross. If you are not a believer and you want to know what this Christian life is like or what it's all about, if you're a new believer and want to know about the decision that you've made recently, or if you've been a believer for a long time but you just want to go back and review what actually happened to you when you became a Christian, this is a great booklet that really gets down to the nitty-gritty of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You can get that by logging on to DerekPrince.org. Now today, Derek's going to be teaching us about the tension between God's love and His holiness. This is a topic that often causes people some concern. How can a loving God send His Son to die on a cross? Well, Derek's going to straighten it out for us, and it's going to really impact your life. Let's listen as Derek talks about the love of God.
In my talk yesterday, I focused on the two simple but profound statements that contain the essence of the Bible's revelation of God. I pointed out that each statement consists of three words, each of one syllable. The first is found in the first epistle of John, chapter 4, verse 8, God is love. The second, in the first epistle of John, chapter 1, verse 5, God is light. Those are the two great summations of the nature of God. God is love, and God is light. I explained that these two statements indicate a deep, basic tension between love and light. For love draws us. Love is that which we crave. But light scares us. Light holds us away. Paul says, God dwells in light that cannot be approached. How then can we resolve this tension between our desire for the love of God and our fear of coming in our sinful condition into the light of God? Well, today I'm going to explain an important practical consequence that results from this tension between love and light. The consequence can be summed up in the phrase, the need for a sacrifice to approach God. This is one of the great and, in a sense, unique revelations of the Bible, that for any human being to approach God, there must be a sacrifice. No one can approach God without a sacrifice. And that sacrifice speaks always of a life that must be laid down as the penalty for man's sin. And so no man can ever actually have access to God without the sacrifice, which first of all acknowledges the fact of sin, and secondly indicates that the price has been paid, a life has been laid down. This need for a sacrifice to approach God is consistently emphasized throughout the Bible. In fact, it commences with the earliest records of man's history. In Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 5, we read how Adam's two sons, Cain and Abel, sought to approach God. One was accepted, that was Abel. The other, Cain, was rejected. Neither was accepted on the basis of what he was in himself, but each was accepted or rejected on the basis of the offering that they presented to God. This is how the Bible records it. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. And Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. That indicates the Lord accepted Abel on the basis of his offering, but he likewise rejected Cain because his offering did not fulfill the Lord's requirements. The difference was that Abel's offering indicated the acknowledgement of sin, the penalty of sin, the need for a sacrifice, the sacrificial life of one of his flock laid down in his place. And on the basis of this acknowledgement, which was contained in the sacrifice and the blood that was shed, Abel was accepted, but Cain, who had no such sacrifice, was rejected. Now, this principle continues throughout the whole of the Old Testament. Anywhere you find man approaching God, somewhere you'll find that there is implied or clearly stated the need for a sacrifice, which is a life laid down, the acknowledgement of man's sin and its penalty. Interestingly enough, this understanding of the need for sacrifice is not confined even to the Old Testament. It still exists in a rudimentary and sometimes a distorted form among many so-called primitive peoples around the world. When I was in East Africa, I encountered there many evidences of this awareness in man's consciousness that somehow he had to provide a sacrifice to approach God. And amongst some of the African tribes, there were many, many animals sacrificially offered to God. All of them, I believe, proceeding from this initial revelation contained in the story of Cain and Abel. But the basic principle is there all through the Bible. Because of God's holiness, because of that radiant, unstained, unsullied light, we cannot approach Him in our sin, in our guilt, without a sacrifice.
You know, I've always wondered about the difference between Cain's sacrifice and Abel's sacrifice, and why God accepted the one and rejected the other. Fascinating. Coming up later in the program, Phil Kagi is going to be joining me here in the studio as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
As 2006 draws to a close, all of us at Derek Prince Ministries want to remind you of two things. First, we want to express once more how much we have appreciated your friendship and partnership over this past year. Your faithfulness has allowed us to continue the work Derek Prince started and helped many people discover the amazing Bible teaching he brought us. Second, we would be remiss if we didn't remind you that there are only a few weeks remaining in this tax year. It's about this time each year we hear from a lot of friends of Derek Prince Ministries as they make special year-end gifts. They tell us they'd rather see the resources God has given them go into His kingdom rather than into the coffers of the IRS. Put another way, they'd rather render a little less to Caesar and a little more to God. Of course, the real beneficiaries are those touched and changed by God's truth because of your generosity. Take a few moments today to send your special year-end gift. Simply call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. As you give, please know that through your connection to Derek Prince Legacy Radio, you are a part of something truly amazing. Also know that you have our gratitude. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or visit us online at derekprince.org. Thanks again, and may 2007 be a year of great blessing and fruitfulness for you.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition. And I just want to get right to it. Derek is teaching us about the love of God. I need it. You need it. Let's listen.
Because of God's holiness, because of that radiant, unstained, unsullied light, we cannot approach Him in our sin, in our guilt, without a sacrifice. However, the New Testament makes clear what is really already implied in the Old, that no animal sacrifice could ever atone really for man's sin. This is stated very clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. The writer is speaking about all the animal sacrifices offered in the Old Testament. And he says, but those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So those sacrifices actually never resolved the sin question. They were merely a continual reminder of the fact of sin and of the need of a sacrifice, and they looked forward prophetically to God's ultimate provision of the only sacrifice that would be sufficient. But it could never be achieved by bulls or by goats. Only God Himself could provide the sufficient sacrifice. The Bible further reveals in this context that a sacrifice requires two things, a victim and a priest. The victim is that which is offered in sacrifice. The priest is the one who offers the sacrifice. And the Bible laid down certain requirements for those who might be priests and offer sacrifice. But in the ultimate provision, God Himself provided both the victim and the priest. And He provided both in one person, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial victim. He's also the priest who offered the sacrifice. Let's see, first of all, what the New Testament says about Jesus as victim. In John chapter 1, verse 29, speaking about the ministry of John the Baptist, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." So by prophetic insight, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist saw in Jesus the one who was to be the true, final, all-sufficient sacrifice, the one whose life and whose blood could alone atone for man's sins. And so looking with prophetic revelation, as he saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "The Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world," the entire world's sin was covered by the one sacrifice. But Jesus was not only the victim, He was also the priest. It's very important to understand this. And this is stated for one place in Hebrews 9, verse 14. "How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" You see, Christ offered Himself. The word there translated offered is the specific word for a priestly offering. Christ was not only the victim, He was the priest. He was the total provision of God to deal with the sin problem, to deal with that which makes it impossible for man otherwise to approach God in His holiness. And so we see here the divine resolution of the tension between love and light, between God's holiness and God's love. God's love draws us, but God's holiness sets boundaries that we cannot pass until we have the one thing that is needed, the sacrifice. But the love of God, in a certain sense, reached out beyond the holiness of God, and in the person of Jesus, provided both the victim and the priest. How important it is that we see the absolute all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He's also the only authorized priest who offered Himself as the Lamb, without spot, without blemish, without sin, to God through the eternal Spirit. And through that eternal Spirit He comprehended in Himself the sins of all men of all ages, past, present, and future. The one all-sufficient sin offering provided by God's love to meet the requirements of God's holiness.
You know, one of the great tensions in Christianity is this tension between the holiness of God and the love of God, and it has a practical effect on us, as Derek has been describing. God is holy, and we can't come to Him without acknowledging our sin. At the same time, the whole idea of acknowledging our sin is to get past it. And so many Christians throughout history have stayed in kind of a sin preoccupation that never really experienced freedom from sin and deliverance from sin. the holiness of God prompted the love of God to create the sacrifice of God, which sets us free from our sins. Hey, coming up in just a moment, Phil Kagi joining me right here in the studio as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Salvation. What does this familiar word really mean? The forgiveness of sins? The ticket to heaven? As wonderful as these definitions are, there is much more to salvation than most believers know. Now, in a powerful little booklet entitled Complete Salvation, Derek Prince reveals how the work Jesus did on the cross made a way for all to experience a great, glorious, and complete salvation. In it, you'll discover what salvation truly is and show you the steps you can take to receive and enjoy all of its benefits, both now and for eternity. To order your copy, Complete Salvation, free and postage paid, simply call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The call and the booklet are both free. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince, Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and again, with me in the studio is Phil Kagi. It's such an honor to have him with us today. Phil, you were telling us before about the Love-In experience. It was a community, so to speak, up in upstate New York, and with a name like Love-In, the love of God must have been a real theme. This was a theme in Derek Prince's ministry. What do you recall of an emphasis on love at that time?
Well, I think my generation, the generation that grew up in the 60s, you know, they were really searching for love, and they were very honest in their searches. I really feel that. And I remember that song, you know, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just last week I was just saying what the world needs now even more so is the love, sweet love of God. And that's what I feel. That's where we're at today. I think what's happening is, you know, it does say in the Bible that in the last days the love of many will wax cold, will grow cold. And it's God, the agape love that Derek Prince was teaching about, that really teaches us, and not only teaches us, but enables us how to live, how to be better fathers, mothers, and how to be better members of our society and our community, our towns. And I think the love of God is what really we need. I mean, and that's what sets the gospel apart from anything else I've ever heard, is the love of God. And how, you know, Jesus said, you know, this is the greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And he even goes as far as to say, love your enemies. You know, where do you hear that?
Yeah.
Aside from the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I love the way Derek Prince always referred to Jesus Christ, not as Jesus, but often as the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's the final authority as far as Derek was concerned. And so I think today, the love of God is what we really need, and not only in word, but in action.
Absolutely.
Deed and in truth.
I've heard you say elsewhere that the 1960s was, so to speak, all about me, meaning all about the person, the individual, my fulfillment, I, me, mine, what have you done for me lately, almost. And then in the 70s, especially for those people who were finding Jesus, there was this explosion of the love of God, the agape love, as you describe it, that, of course, being the Greek word for unconditional love. And it really was transforming, wasn't it? It helped people realize that they aren't going to find fulfillment by seeking to fulfill their own needs in a selfish way, but rather by turning it outward and meeting the needs of others. And what did you experience of that as you made that sort of transition in the early 70s?
Well, I just feel the Lord was trying to teach me how to, you know, extend myself outward to others and not just think about myself. In fact, you know, there was somewhat of a cost with being a musician in those days. I was on Decca Records, and I was in a band that we were recording artists. And then God invaded my life, and I got to know him through the scriptures and through teachers and fellowship. And I wanted to communicate the gospel, and that was the most important thing. I really wanted God to use my music as a vehicle to bring others to Christ. And that was my number one ambition. Whereas before that point, my ambition was to become some rock star, you know. And you're right, the 60s were like that. Even Eric Clapton himself, you know, famous guitarist, you know, when they said Clapton is God, you know, I think he was sort of flattered at first, but then it began to weigh on him, you know, and he got very uncomfortable with that. And he actually exited the music scene for a bit, you know, and he kind of went incognito with Delaney and Bonnie and changing his music style. And, you know, no one can live with that. Even Elvis Presley couldn't live with probably the pressure of being called the king.
Sure.
You know, there's one king. And, well, the whole entertainment thing and the whole world of music and industry, it's like, it's very selfish in some ways. And so what we learned through the love of God is how to be unselfish, how to be broken bread and poured out wine for the sake of others.
Okay, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Stephen.
You know, I love hearing about the love of God and how it impacted Phil's life. And I love the way that this produced such a gentleness in him. You know, you can really hear it in his music. You can really especially see it and hear it in his guitar playing. I think the reason he's such an amazing guitar player is that he, in a sense, is putting sound to the love of God. It's powerful, and it really has impacted my life. I know it will yours. Hey, Phil's going to be with me next week, but I want to talk more directly to some of you who might be listening now who are still sort of considering a Christian commitment. You know, this love of God is what we're made for. It's what we want. It's what we're hungering for. Most of the destructive things that we do in our lives, we do because we're hungry for the love of God. We don't get it, so we cram pills and sex and materialistic toys and whatever else into the gaping hole in our souls, and none of it does any good. I mean, many of us know what it's like to go out and tie one on and get thoroughly stoned, and then the next morning say, "What in the world was I doing? That didn't answer anything." Or we go sleep with everything that moves and engage in illicit sex, and then the next day, it's, well, what was that? That didn't solve anything. That didn't answer anything in my soul. Well, the love of God does. And I want to pray with those of you who might be ready now to say, I want that love of God to come into my life. You do it by saying, Jesus died for my life. You got to believe that. And I know that many of you, after hearing Derek talk, you've got a new faith that Jesus, in fact, died for you. And you've got to say, I believe that he died, and I want him to come and live in my life. This is what it means to become a Christian, is that you basically engage in a life-for-life exchange. I want him to live in my life. I want to stop living under my own power. I want that love to come into my life. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now to pray for and with those who are listening all over this nation. But specifically, Lord, for that person in the car, that person in their bedroom, that person who's standing there in the kitchen, Lord God, who now is saying, I want to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want my soul to be filled with the love of God. Father, we renounce our old ways, our sins, our trying to answer our own soul's need. We renounce that in the name of Jesus and say, Lord, we've been foolish to try to answer the hole in our soul. And we now turn to Jesus. We believe that God sent Jesus to the cross because he loves us and now wants to fill our souls with that very love of God. We ask you to forgive us of our sins. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was crucified and that God raised him from the dead again. And we ask Jesus to come into our lives and the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to shed abroad in our hearts that love of God. Let us now, Lord, be born again. Let us engage in the great life for life exchange. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you've just prayed that prayer, we've got something we want to send you. It's a booklet called Complete Salvation, and it's going to help you understand what you just did, what you just prayed, and what this Christian life means. Just log on to our website at derekprince.org or call us at 1-800-448-3261. That's derekprince.org or 1-800-448-3261. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Thursday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment now to request your free copy of Derek's powerful booklet, Complete Salvation. It's our gift to you, free and postage paid. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And when you call, please consider a special end-of-year gift to Derek Prince Ministries of $25 or more. Your gift will further the reach of Derek Prince Legacy Radio, and you'll receive the tax benefit for this year. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And remember, you can send your financial support securely online at derekprince.org.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.